Sir, I protest. I am not a merry man.
Hello and welcome to the 2019 Las Vegas Star Trek Convention Klingon Blood Wine Games. We're here again to pit three Trek fans against each other in the ultimate competition of Trek knowledge and fandom. With me, of course, I have my scorekeeper, Tyler Orton.
Scorekeeper, Cam? I thought it was the reigning champion of the Klingon Blood Wine Games. What has happened to me over the years?
Well, you lost last year to Mr. Jay Gamble.
Oh, I can't wait to have him join us for the current Klingon Blood Wine Games.
He couldn't be here this year, but we've got a really strong panel, I think. We're going to have a lot of fun, do some different categories. There will be prizes, and ultimately, bragging rights for one contestant to hold the title into 2020.
Yeah, you can tell what those bragging rights mean to Jay Gamble this year.
Well, true enough. So let's start on the end and introduce contestant number one, Jesse Okendo. Jesse, where do you hail from?
I am from Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm an IT manager in Atlanta, Georgia. I come to Star Trek Las Vegas 6 years in a row. And I'm ready to kick some Blood Wine Games booty today.
Yeah.
Now I want to know, Jesse, what is your favorite Star Trek series?
Voyager.
Voyager, okay. Now, in the second spot, Mr. Scott Hardy. Scott, introduce yourself to the audience.
Well, as you just said, I'm Scott Hardy. I hail from London, England, and I am a police officer. I've been coming to this convention for 9 years. I've been on this game show, two of them, I believe, and lost miserably both times. So I'm back to try and etch a better score than last time.
Third time's a charm,
Here
Scott.
We go.
Okay, and what is your favorite Star Trek series?
My favorite Star Trek series is Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Okay, and now our third contestant, Kim McInnes. Now, Kim, where do you hail from?
I am from Calgary, Alberta, just across the province.
And tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am an accountant with the federal government, and this is my 8th year here, and I am in the games to make sure that Scott doesn't fail.
Kim, what is Kim, what's your favorite Star Trek series?
TNG.
Nice.
That's what I started
nice.
With, yeah.
And this is your first time on the games, period.
It is, yes.
Jesse, you did compete in the second year.
Yes, I did.
Yes, and so I think it's going to be interesting. We've got the ultimate experience of Scott, although never won. Pairing off against two people, you know, Jesse, a little bit of experience, and Kim, none. So let's see how this plays out. Let's start with the first category. You know it, you love it. It's trivia gone amok. The way this category works is it's a series of 25 trivia questions. You are not forced to answer, but you chime in by saying your name, and then you will answer. And so the way this works is it's 1 point per question, and there are three special questions that will have a prize attached if you get it right. I'm not going to say what it is. I will reveal that later. As always, as with every year, this category features the Barile card.
Woo! I have been a long-time observer of the games, though, Cam. I know about these Barile cards.
For the audience at home, Kim McInnes has been the person in the background all these years cheering us on, cheering the audience. It's been an amazing experience to have you. I am so glad that you're here as a contestant after all these years,
Kim.
We
will see what you say at the end.
And so the way the Barile card works is you play that on someone else. There is a question everyone's stumped on. For example, Jesse, you're stumped on question number 3. You don't know the answer. You don't think Scott or Kim do either. You would play that card on whichever one you feel like playing it on. So say you played on Scott. I ask Scott the question. He gets it right. Well, he just got 2 points. However, if he gets it wrong, you get an extra point, Jesse. And so that is the way this works. And we shall see how this plays out. And so let's start with trivia question number 1. Who ejected Lieutenant Commander Arium into space?
Jesse.
Jesse.
Burnham.
No.
Oh!
Kim.
Shazad? What's his actual character name? I don't know. I'm out. Whoever Shazad Latif plays.
Okay, so you're thinking the Ash Tyler character.
Ash Tyler, whatever.
No.
Duh.
It's up to Scott now.
Yeah, only one person left. Am I moving on, Scott?
None.
That is correct. So that's 1 point for Scott. Okay.
He's cheating.
Let's go to question number two. In Star Trek V, what is the capital of the planet they go to and the only settlement on Nimbus 3? Now, it has a certain musical name that may jump out to those of you.
Scott.
Scott?
Paradise City.
That is correct. Okay.
I thought the Nimbus
It's where the grass is green.
Yeah.
And the girls are pretty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nimbus is the broom from Harry Potter.
That's also correct. <true. laughs>
All the British people in the room are cheering for that reference.
Yes.
Woo. Question number three. What is the name of Picard's love interest in the episode Lessons? Very popular episode. Obviously not in this room.
Bosch? Kim?
No.
But okay,
I'm going to give it a 3, 2, 1. The answer was Nella Darren. Question number four. In the Voyager two-parter, Futures End, what is the name of Sarah Silverman's scientist hero?
Jesse.
Kim.
Kim first.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Not Neil deGrasse Tyson. Jesse.
Oh, what's his name? He wrote a book. The Cosmos Guy.
Sarah Silverman played the Cosmos Guy?
No, I thought you said that was her mentor.
Her mentor is the Cosmos Guy.
Sarah Silverman plays a scientist.
Oh, yes.
What is Sarah Silverman's hero's name?
I take my name
her, like, what is her name? That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
I see. Yeah.
Sarah.
It wasn't Neil deGrasse Tyson, I can tell you that.
Scott.
Isaac Asimov.
Rain Robinson.
Oh.
Question number five.
Oh, now I get it.
Oh, her name.
Yes. That's what none of us got. It's okay. Don't worry. You're not alone.
Faulty question, perhaps. Question number five. What Shakespeare play does Kodos and his team put on in the original series episode, Conscience of the King? This one's multiple choice. Is it Macbeth, King Lear, or Hamlet?
Kim. Jesse.
I heard Kim first. This
Kim
is
first.
The scorekeeper title.
B.
What's that?
B.
King Lear?
Yes.
That is incorrect. Jesse, you're next.
Hamlet. Hamlet.
You say Hamlet?
Yes.
Hamlet is the correct answer.
Ding, ding, ding.
I was like, otherwise, Jesse's on the score. There's only three.
Okay, question number six. How many years did Nero wait for Spock Prime to show up in the 2009 film Star Trek?
Jesse.
I heard Jesse first.
200 years.
No.
No.
No. Kim.
Kim.
25?
That's correct.
But years? Did Scott not chime in before Kim?
I thought I said it the same, but that's
Kim. I was going to say the same number, but Kim spoke
first. We will defer to Kim McInnes.
Yeah. Okay. I get 1 point. Give me 1 point.
Kim is on the board now.
Okay. Question number seven. What is Trip Tucker's favorite dessert?
Scott.
Scott?
Pecan pie?
That is correct.
Ooh, nice.
Whoa! Yeah.
Now, Scott,
oh, that's
with that
question,
you win the Dr. Voice card. We will come back to that in a future round.
All right.
Cam, for people that don't know, who is Dr. Boyce?
Dr. Boyce, of course, is the original Enterprise Doctor. We saw him giving counsel to Captain Pike in the episode The Cage, as well as The Menagerie.
Do you have a special connection to Dr. Boyce from this weekend here in Las Vegas, Cam?
I posed for a photo with Mary Wiseman holding that photo of Dr. Boyce.
She seemed to love it based on the photo. Let's link to that in the blog.
She's a big Dr. Boyce fan. You heard it here first. Okay, so let's go to the next question. Who served as the father of the bride at the O'Brien Keiko wedding?
Scott.
Scott?
Data?
That is correct. Data.
Woo!
Yay!
Okay. In Deep Space Nine, what feature is very notable on Jadzia's crush, the Gallimite captain, Boday?
Scott.
I heard Scott.
Yeah! Your
the transparent skull.
That is correct. Okay.
Humana, humana, humana.
Question number 10. Which planet does Pike find the time crystal in Star Trek Discovery Season 2?
Oh, Jesse! Me! Kronos!
Jesse?
Kronos?
Borath.
Thanks,
Dog.
But...
Why did I say that?
You were so close, Jesse!
I think
so
Borath!
Yeah. Jesse said it
Jesse
first.
Gets it. Jesse gets it. Okay, question number 11. In the alternate future of the episode Endgame, what is Tom Paris' job?
Scott.
Scott?
He's a holo novel writer.
That is correct. Okay, question number 12. In the original series, what species pits Kirk against the Gorn?
Oh, I've seen that episode.
Does anyone know? Three.
I'm going to play my Barile card.
Okay, Scott is playing the Barile card, and who are you going to play it on, Scott?
I'm going to play it on Kim McInnes.
Since I just said I don't know, yeah, give him the point. I have no clue.
Do you want to just field a guess?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, then the answer was the Metrons.
Wasn't going to get that.
No. Well, you're wearing a Metron t-shirt right now, though.
I would have thought
you would have caught that.
Am I, Cam?
Okay, question number 13. What is Kira wearing when she first meets Worf?
Scott.
Scott?
A medieval dress, like a with a cone hat, like a maiden in distress type thing. Maid Marian type, okay. I can't find
the
words.
Can we defer to maybe the audience, Cam?
Sure.
Would the audience give one Scott Hardy this particular response? I'd like to hear from the audience member who loves Deep Space Nine more than anything in the world, one Kimmy Wood. Yay or nay, Kimmy Wood?
Nay.
Okay.
Oh.
We have a nay.
Okay. Scorekeeper and trivia master.
Okay.
I would say a yay.
A yay?
What was the correct answer?
So ultimately, you're the decision maker here, Cam. We have one nay, one yay.
I say yay.
Yay.
So the answer was princess costume, but I'm going to give it to you.
Aww.
Maid Marian is not
Maid
a princess.
Marian.
Well, Scott, you get a point.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. They gave it to you. Stop making that I'm so...
Potato, yeah. Potato.
Can I have some more?
Okay.
Did you just make a potato reference?
I did. I did.
Thank you, Jay.
Question number 14.
Okay, this is it.
Who is the first to see the white rabbit in the episode Shore Leave?
Jesse.
Jesse?
Bones.
That is correct. Woo! Bones McCoy.
Good job.
Okay, question number 15. What ship did Jet Reno serve on prior to joining Discovery?
Oh, Jesse, me! Jesse. The Hiawatha!
That is correct. Ooh, another
on fire, Jesse.
Jesse, okay. I'll say this as a scorekeeper. He's doing quite well the last couple of rounds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure. Question number 16. What is the name of the Picard family's wine vintage label?
Oh, Jesse!
Scott.
Jesse? I heard Jesse, yeah.
Chateau Picard.
Correct.
Yeah!
Jesse's on a roll. Question number 17. What alien species was Cito Jaxa escorting in the episode Lower Decks? This is the episode that follows the lower members of the crew, and Cito Jaxa goes on a very dangerous mission, escorting a key
Jesse.
Alien. Jesse?
Barile card.
Okay, Jesse's playing the Barile card. Who are you going to play it on, Jesse?
On Kim.
Wow. Okay. Kim, which alien was this?
What series was that?
This was on the Next Generation.
Oh.
This is the character Cito Jaxa, very popular character, very dangerous mission. She's assigned by Picard.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can we give Kim maybe a hint? What is Cito Jaxa's species, Cam?
She is a Bajoran.
I don't know, Romulan?
No.
Very close. Another Bajoran?
Very close.
Yeah.
Cardassian.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
I had the bad guy. I was going in the right direction.
One of these movies is not screened by Trip Tucker in the Enterprise movie nights. So one of these three was not screened. Rosemary's Baby, Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, or Sunset Boulevard.
Scott.
I heard Scott.
Okay, Scott.
A.
A, Rosemary's Baby? That's incorrect. Oh. So it's now between Kim. Frankenstein... Kim.
The third one. The
Sunset Boulevard?
Sunset Boulevard.
That is incorrect.
No!
Jesse. The one that they didn't say.
Frankenstein
and the Wolf.
Yeah. Let's put some effort into it. Come on.
Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman is correct. So Jesse gets another point. Question number 19. Who defeated Tuvok at the Vulcan game Kalto? Scott.
Icheb.
That is correct. Question number 20. In Star Trek The Motion Picture, which celebrated its 40th birthday this year, who was the transporter chief during the deadly accident that killed two crew members?
Royal card.
Okay, oh. Kim is going to play the Barile card.
Jesse,
you are now forced to answer this question. Who was the transporter chief in the motion picture during a deadly accident?
The transporter chief was...
And it is a known character. It's not some obscure person we're just pulling out.
Chekhov.
No, it was Janice Rand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I got another point!
Yeah!
Up high. 1 point for Kim. Question number 21. Ash Tyler owned a lake house near which California lake? This one is probably difficult, but we have to throw in as many Ash Tyler trout fishing stories as possible.
Lake Tahoe?
No. Jesse, you know, any ideas? You're a U.S. citizen?
Oh, that's going to
be... The only U.S. citizen?
Yeah.
That was the only lake I knew, so...
Okay. Anyone? California. Three, two...
Lake Ontario.
No. Wow.
That's one of the Great Lakes.
And it's not in Ontario.
Not near California.
Okay.
You've been to Canada. Come on, man. Put it together.
The answer was Lake Shasta.
Nope.
Okay. Question number 22. What was the name of the Vulcan baseball team the Niners played against in the DS9 episode Take Me Out to the Hall of Sweet?
Ooh, that's a good
one. Come on, people who've seen
DS9. The Vulcan team. I'm going to give a countdown. Three, two, one, the Logicians.
Oh, that makes sense.
That was good. Yep. That was good.
Okay, number 23. What item did Harry Mudd steal from a Tellarite bounty hunter in the short trek The Escape Artist?
Oh, dang it.
Can I hear the question again, please?
Yes. What item did Harry Mudd steal from the Tellarite bounty hunter in the short trek The Escape Artist?
Jesse?
Jesse?
Was it a family ring?
No.
Kim? I don't know. Nope.
You're not sure? The answer was a family cudgel.
I was so close.
Yeah?
A cudgel is a ring.
I don't think it
is. No. I think that's some BS over there.
Question number 24. Which Zindi species was believed wiped out during the Civil War?
Ooh, Jesse, the fishies. The aquans.
Nope.
No, they're in the meeting.
Okay. Scott or Kim, do you wager a guess?
Who's going to chime in first?
Kim? Avian?
Yes, that's correct.
I have 3 points!
Yay!
The avian are correct. Finally, the final question. And
I'm pulling out front here, people. Hold on.
And I'm going to even say, there's a Dr. Boyce card in effect for this one.
Oh, but what does the Dr. Boyce card do?
Oh,
what?
But you'll find out later
okay.
on the road.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
What is Dr. Boyce's first name? I am going to give three names, and this is multiple choice, of course. Gerald, Philip, or Stanley?
Jesse?
Stanley.
No.
Scott?
Gerald. No. Kim?
The other one.
Philip is correct.
Yay.
Okay. I get a Dr. Boyce and a fourth point.
So here is a Dr. Boyce
card. Good things come to those who wait, people.
So, as we finish the first round, both Scott and Kim have Dr. Boyce cards. So you can remember that going forward. Barile cards are now out of the game. Tyler, why don't you do a sum up of the point values after round one?
Rounding it up at the bottom, but top of my heart, though, one Kim McInnes has 4 points.
Yay!
Yay!
Very close. One Jesse Okendo has 5 points.
I'm only behind by one!
Yeah. And one Scott Hardy has 8 points.
Well done, everyone.
Okay, well, let's move into the next category. Boothby's Bewildering Boffo Box Office Bucks Bonanza.
Oh, my.
I love Boothby.
There you go. And you're going to love this category,
I missed the rest
Kim.
Of those, but that's okay.
Here's the way this is going to work. We're going to go person by person. You're not competing against each other, mm-hmm. you know, the way you were at the trivia.
Okay.
In this one, I'm going to go person by person. I'm going to give you 3 Star Trek movies, and you have to rank them for me in the order of which one made the most money to the least. Now, there's a twist to this, in case some of you have been on Box Office Mojo. I've adjusted for inflation.
Oh,
and so the numbers get really interesting when suddenly, you know, $1979 dollars versus, you know, 2005. And so
okay. We
are going to start this off. Okay, so we're going to start with Jesse on the end here,
yes.
Contestant number one. Here are your 3 movies. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, and Star Trek 2009. So Jesse, which one do you think was in the number one spot for making the most and from there?
Star Trek 2
was number 1.
Was number 1.
Okay.
I would say that Star Trek 2009 is 2.
Okay.
And Star Trek 4 is 3.
Okay. So, the way this worked out was Star Trek 2009 was number 1 with $311 million. Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home, was number 3 across all Star Trek films. So, the second spot with $260 million. And then Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, when you look at the adjusted list, is number 5 of all time in the Star Trek franchise. So that puts it in the 3rd spot. So Tyler, just sum up the point values there.
Zero.
Okay.
Nope.
Thank you, Tyler.
Boothby did not treat you well this round, but who knows, maybe next round. Scott, we're going to come to you. Mm-hmm. Here are your three movies.
I'm ready.
Star Trek The Motion Picture, Star Trek First Contact, and Star Trek Into Darkness.
I'm going to go with Into Darkness, The Motion Picture, and then what was the last one?
The First Contact.
First Contact.
That is your order?
Yep.
Okay, so Into Darkness at number one?
Yep.
Motion Picture at number two?
Correct.
And First Contact at number three?
Correct.
Okay, the actual order is Star Trek The Motion Picture looms at number two on the all-time top, you know, top Star Trek films, so it is the number one answer with $295 million. In second place, it was actually Star Trek Into Darkness, which is number four on the all-time, so $247 million. And then in third place is Star Trek First Contact, which is seventh on the Star Trek franchise listings, with $187 million adjusted.
So altogether, Scott got 1 point for correctly placing Star Trek First Contact.
Okay.
Oh, well, there you
go. Okay, now, Kim, here are your three movies. Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, and Star Trek Beyond.
I'm going to go, because I don't know any of the dollars, I'm going to go by what I like. So number six, Beyond, and then three.
Okay, so you're going to say the number one highest grossing was
Undiscovered Country.
Okay, followed by
and
Beyond.
And by Beyond, and then Search for Spock.
Okay, the actual number one of your categories, the highest grossing of the ones, was Star Trek III, The Search for Spock,
oh,
which landed number six for the franchise with $205 million. Cool. It was followed by Star Trek Beyond, which had the number eight spot
Yay.
With $168 million. And in last place was Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, which was at number 10 with $163 million adjusted. So, Tyler, sum up the point values there.
One, Kim McInnes got 1 point for correctly placing Star Trek Beyond at number two.
Yes!
Woo!
Woohoo! I'm a way better cheer. I play soccer for fair play points, people, so I will cheer all day.
Worst crowd ever.
Okay, category number three. Who is the bridge? In this category, I am going to state a fact about a famous captain. I'm not throwing in Jellico questions or anything.
Oh.
These are the captains that you know. You know, just to sum it up, it's going to be Kirk, Picard, Sisko, Janeway, Archer, or Pike. So remember that, Pike is in play. So I'm going to say a fact. You are going to chime in and guess which captain it is. Now, those of you who have voice cards, that is Kim and Scott, you can play a voice card when you chime in, and I will lower it down to two captains. So you just have to get one of the two.
Mm.
So you can pick whichever one you want. I don't know how hard these will be, so you'll want to pick the ones that maybe will stump someone else. Okay, so let's get started. This captain was the first freshman to win the Starfleet Academy Marathon.
Scott.
Scott?
Picard.
That's correct. Okay, number two. This captain witnessed a gazelle giving birth in East Africa.
Scott.
Scott?
Janeway.
No.
Jesse.
Jesse?
Pike.
No.
Kim.
Kim?
Archer.
That's correct. Archer is right. Okay.
Thank you, Kimmy.
Number three. This captain lost a brother to giant parasites.
Scott.
Scott?
Kirk.
That's correct. Question number four. This captain beamed home every night for family dinner during their first few weeks at Starfleet Academy.
Scott.
Scott?
Sisko.
That's correct. Next question. This captain was once referred to as a stack of books with legs.
Kim?
Kim?
Picard?
Nope.
Jesse.
Jesse?
Janeway.
Nope.
Scott.
Yep.
Pike.
Nope. The answer is Kirk.
Seriously?
It was Gary Mitchell that said that in the episode Where No Man Has Gone Before.
There you are.
Okay, next question. This captain believed their ancestor played a crucial role in the construction of the Millennium
Jesse,
Gate.
Jesse, Jesse.
Yes.
Janeway.
That's right. Have you been to Indiana and seen the Millennium Gate, Jesse?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
That's a real thing?
Nope.
Okay, cool.
Next question. This captain took piano lessons but quit due to performance anxiety.
Scott.
Scott?
I'm going to play my voice card.
Okay, so the answer is either Picard or Pike.
Picard.
That is correct. The answer was Picard. Okay, this captain challenged a Vulcan to a wrestling match after a few drinks and suffered a humiliating loss.
Jesse.
Jesse.
Kirk.
No.
Kim.
Kim.
I'll play my boys card.
Okay. The answer is either Archer or Cisco.
Archer.
Nope. The answer was Cisco. Okay. The next question. As a child, this captain had two horses named Tango and Mary Lou.
Scott.
Scott?
Pike.
That is correct. Okay, next one. Boothby brought roses to this captain's quarters each morning when they were a student in Starfleet
Academy. Kim, Jesse.
Tyler, what do you think? Who said it first?
Kim.
Okay, Kim. Mm-hmm.
Picard?
Nope.
Jesse.
Yes.
Jesse, Janeway.
That is correct. The answer was Janeway. Next question. This captain witnessed a terrible massacre at the age of 9.
Scott.
Scott?
Kirk.
That is correct. And that is from Conscience of a King.
Yes.
Where they go into that backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one. This captain failed a semester of organic chemistry at Starfleet Academy.
Jesse.
Jesse?
Kirk.
Nope.
Kim.
Yes.
Picard.
That is correct. Okay, next question. This captain attended a 3D movie with their crew.
Scott.
Scott.
Janeway.
That's correct. Next question. One of this captain's favorite foods is their mother's chicken tuna sandwiches.
Scott.
Scott? Three.
Pike.
That's correct. The answer
was Pike. Oh, nice.
I pulled that out. Yep. Jeez.
And the final question. This captain was the first in Star Trek history to have a shower scene.
Scott. Oh, Jesse!
Tyler?
Okay, so I heard Scott. I did. Okay.
Archer.
That is correct. The answer was the Archer.
The Archer.
That's what I call him.
Okay, and now the final category called Hollow Sweeten the Deal.
Oh, my God.
In this one, you guys are no longer game show contestants.
Yes.
You are salesmen.
And saleswomen.
That's right.
Sales people.
Salespeople.
That's right.
Yes.
You are going to sell a holographic program to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we want you to be sharks. We want you guys to sell this with every bit of passion you have. I want to be convinced, and Tyler as well, when you are done with your sales pitch, that I have to buy this.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a choice.
You got it.
So you will be graded 3 points for how specific you are. You know, references to maybe the episode or the character, or just, you know what series this popped up in. You also get 3 points for passion, how much you believe in your product. And finally, 3 points for persuasiveness. Do we want to buy this when you are done? Okay, so I'm going to offer you two programs.
Yes.
To each contestant. If these don't work, we can swap around. So, Jesse, the two you have to choose from off the top are The Adventures of Flutter from Voyager, as well as The Parallax Colony from The Next Generation. Do you have a choice between those two?
Flotter, I guess.
Okay, you'll take The Adventures of Flotter.
The Adventures of Flotter.
Cam, for anyone that might not remember, what is a parallax colony from Cost of Living?
That is the program where artists gather and express themselves artistically.
It's from that episode featuring one Loxana Troy and the mud bath scene featuring Alexander Rozhenko. Yes. So that one might ring some bells for people over there.
Okay, so Scott, you have to choose between either Janeway's Lambda 1, which is the Gothic Hollow novel she enjoys recreating, or the Altonian Brain Teaser from the DS9 episode A Man Alone, which was Jadzia's orb puzzle program. You can also, if you'd like, take the one from The Cost of Living.
I've got to be totally honest. The two you first gave me, I do not remember.
Okay.
So I'm going to take The Cost of Living.
Okay.
Just because I've watched that recently.
Okay, so Scott will have the Parallax Colony. Now, sure. Kim, you have the Joe Piscopo comic from The Outrageous Okona.
Oh, yeah.
Or the French bar Shea Sandrine from Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take Joe Piscopo.
Are you allowed to take any of the ones?
I can take any of the other ones. Yeah, no, that's fine. I'll still take Joe Piscopo.
You're going to take Joe Piscopo. Yeah. I don't blame you. I think any of us would have made that choice.
I certainly would have.
Okay. So, Jesse, we're going to start with you. You have about a minute to give your pitch, if you want to take a second to warm up. Once again, you want to focus on being specific. You know, you're really trying to pitch this thing to us. Being passionate about what you're selling and being persuasive. Convince us why we want this product. Are you ready, sir?
I am ready.
Okay, go.
I believe I have the best holo program known to man. Now, you would think that there's no place in your life for children's stories, but there is, and it's called The Adventures of Flotter. While you're in Flotter, there's air, there's water, there's fire. It's amazing. And you just throw your kids in there, and it scares the shit out of them, and then they calm down. I mean, you've got to do this. And listen, every parent wants this. And you know what? When you got annoying friends, you just throw them in with Flotter, because Flotter annoys the shit out of me, too. And I want to tell you something else. That Naomi Wallman, she did weird things in there. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesse.
Okay. So, Tyler, at the store, what do you think for how specific Jesse was?
You know, at first I wasn't sure where he was going with, like, it has air, but then... He did bring up the fact there is water and there is like fire and like so it's specific there.
There was a forest fire, of course.
So he brought up Naomi Wildman. I'll give him a good 2.5.
I get that reference.
So 2.5 for that.
Okay.
For passion. I'm not quite there with you, Jesse. I give you maybe a 1.5 for passion. You know. You had to sell me a little bit
snarky, a little bit sarcastic, looking down on the product.
He sounded like a salesman, though.
For persuasiveness. Yeah, you're a good salesman. I give you a 2 there, so I will add up those. But in the meantime, Ken, you give me your points here.
I think for being specific, I actually think, I'm going to give him, I think a 2.5 as well. I would have gone full 3 if I'd heard the name Treebus. That was really my point of, like, if I hear Treebus, I'm going for it. But, okay, so let's give him 2.5 there. For passion, I think a 2. He was definitely, you know what, actually, I'm going to go 3 for passion, because he was very enthusiastic. There was genuine, like, body language. You know, obviously the listeners can't see that, but we could really see it in the room. Like, Jesse was really physically acting out the joys of the holodeck program, The Adventures of Flotter. And then for persuasiveness, I'm going to go 2, because I think he undercut himself a bit with a bit of snarking, looking down a little bit on Flotter and his wacky adventures.
He's a crazy person.
Now we're going to move on to Scott. Scott, you're going to tackle the Parallax colony. Let me just set the timer. Okay, and go.
Now listen, do you want the ultimate relaxation resort? We've got mud baths. I know you love mud baths. We've got guys who have heads in bubbles with patch faces. We've got them. We've got cups that you can eat. Okay, cups you can eat. Who doesn't want to eat their cup after they've drunk their drink in their mud bath with a patch face guy in a bubble? Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Now, in terms of relaxation, we've got that too. But what I really want you to focus on is eating your cups. Because I'm all about eating my cups. Thank you and good night.
Okay. Okay, so Tyler, for being specific, how many points do you give Scott?
I don't know if he mentioned this, but there is some cup eating in this episode. And I think you mentioned it once or twice, so I'll give you a point for that. So,
Rainbow Patch Guy in the balloon.
I'll give you a solid 2.5 on this, you know, like I was impressed by that. So, with regards to passion, maybe not quite there as I hoped. I'm going to give you a Jesse grade. I'll give you a 1.5.
Jesse grade, thank you.
And for persuasiveness, the fact that you brought up those cups so many times, that is quite persuasive. I'll give you another 2 for that. So
I want to eat a cup now.
I'm already eating my cups, so at this point.
I know you're bleeding.
Red Solo cup.
Okay, for my points, specifics. You know, he really impressed me with the grid face guy, you know, in the bubble, the cups, the mud baths. I think I'm going to give him a 3 for specifics here. I got enough that I really was won over. For passion, I'm going to go with you. I think I'm going to go the 1.5 for passion. There was a little bit of smugness, as if he thought this program sold itself. But it doesn't quite. Although the eating cups does go a long way. As for persuasiveness, I'm going to go 2.5. The eating cups, he just kept hammering. And a good salesman knows you want to hit the points over and over again that are going to win over a customer. I want to eat cups and I didn't even know it. And now I do. And now I'm very hungry.
What size cups were these?
Any size, Jesse. It's a Parallax color.
We've got them all.
Okay.
And now we are going to go to Kim. Kim, you are going to tackle the Joe Piscopo comic program. Famously, you know, the data Metwit. Kim, let me just set the timer and go.
Okay, so you see me sitting here trying to sell you something. I couldn't public speak before. This program has all sorts of skills. Kids have social anxiety. You need to public speaking for your networking or for your job. Or maybe you're just bored on a Friday night. Throw this program on and suddenly you're in a comedy club. There are so many uses for this. There's all sorts of other programs. Relaxation. You could learn kids' stories. But this has so many different features. Your kids? Are they nervous? Throw them in there. They can learn how to work with people. Social anxiety fixes everything. I mean, relaxation, who can't do that? A good laugh, best medicine ever, right? So I say, get this, it solves everybody's problems. Public speaking, anxiety, good time out. Throw the friends in there, you guys are having a great girls' night on a Friday.
Okay, and time.
I felt plagiarized.
I'll say Kim mentioned the comedy club.
You're referring to specific
stuff, right? Yes, yeah.
So for that, I'll give her a 0.5. But you know what? Passion, I'll give Kim a 3. Like, just getting those kids out of their shells, you know, like, I really felt it from you. And talking about the public speaking, it's a hard thing to do. And I think you really persuaded me there. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about persuasiveness next, I'm giving you another 3 for that. So I'm giving you a 3 and a 3.
I'll take it.
Yeah, go for it. Kim, where are you on all this?
Yeah, for specifics, I have to go with a 1. It's definitely a comedy club.
I'll take it. He taught Dana about humor. I don't remember anything else about it.
Okay, for passion, I'm with you. 3. This is definitely a 3 for me. It really felt sincere and like genuinely believed in the product she was selling. And then finally, persuasiveness. I'm going for 3. This really did feel like a sales pitch. Maybe a little bit too long, but still, like, I was sold.
I have a whole minute. I got to use my time.
That's
people.
True. That's true.
Yep.
But I definitely felt persuaded into, you know, downloading this program because I'm lonely and I just need to laugh.
Yeah. It's the best medicine, Cam.
Okay. While we let Tyler have a second to work on points here, why don't we just go through, Jesse, starting with you, how do you feel you did this year? What do you think were your strengths or your weaknesses?
I think that I do not know enough about Star Trek to do very well in this contest. Mm-hmm. But I believe that I'm not at the bottom.
Okay, now you played before
yes.
in an episode that we never actually were able to release. But how do you feel you did compared to your first attempt?
I feel you don't have to edit as much with this one.
Okay. Now, Scott, what about you?
I mean, I've been on this a few times now. I'm an old hat. But based on my past scores, I think the best I could hope for is third place. I'm surrounded by great competition, and I mean, whilst you can eat cups now, thanks to me, I think I might have been outclassed here.
Okay, and Kim?
I'm with Jesse, you know, not a lot of knowledge. The trivia section was a bit iffy, but I was surprised I pulled out as many points as I did there. What? And for not enjoying public speaking, I'm like, woohoo, on the sales pitch.
Now, this is your first time
yes.
here. What category do you feel the most comfortable with?
I like the trivia just because it's, like, one answer.
Right.
I don't like the making things up or the trying to be passionate about something. I did way better than I thought I would. So I like the I like having an answer. I'm an accountant. There needs to be one answer.
So you're never going to be a hollow novelist, is what you're saying.
I am not, no.
Okay, Tyler, are you ready with the point value?
Yeah, Cam, this might be a first for the Klingon Bloodwine games here. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we have a tie.
Whoa!
Yeah. So I'm not going to bury the lead here. Tied for silver is one Jesse Okendo and Kim McInnes. They each have 20.5.
Come on, woo!
Points.
Yeah! Yeah!
Neither of us are last! Yay. High five!
And in first place, one Scott Hardy.
Good job! You finally won! Yay!
Scott has 30 points to the 20.5 that Jesse and Kim share here.
Wow. Wow, I'm very surprised by this.
I wasn't quite prepared for a tie with my prizes we're going to hand out now. So I'm going to have to, if you'll go along with this, Jesse, because you were tied, I'm going to give Kim the second place because she had a boy's card.
Yes.
Is that
cool.
fair to you?
Yes.
That is fair.
Aw, thank you.
Okay, so let's start with Jesse. So the prize for participating today, you win the all-valuable Captain Kirk pin.
Oh, yeah!
As well as the IDW Star Trek comic, issue number 52, which is special because it has an Archie variant cover.
Look at
wow.
that.
That's cool.
It looks very nice,
very nice
for the people
yeah.
listening
all this for all this for coming in last. I can't wait to see what you guys got.
Okay, so let's go to Kim, second place. You get the Data.
Ooh, yay.
Pin.
Excellent, excellent.
As well as IDW's Star Trek Discovery one-shot, Captain Saru.
Oh, I like it.
Looking good, looking
nice.
Good.
Nice, yeah, thank you.
So, Cam, for those who don't know, what is a one-shot?
It is a single-story issue. This one's an expanded one, so it's double length, probably 48 pages.
Cool. Yes, and then I don't have to get all of them. I can read the standalone and not be worried about having to find everything
else. That's right.
I like it. Thank you.
Unlike Jesse, you don't have to buy future issues.
Nice.
Jesse, I feel committed now.
Yeah. Jesse just passed me a note, and he said that he's coming in Archie cosplay next year.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Captain Archier. Okay, and first place, Scott, if you're number one, you've got to get the Picard pin.
You mean Picardy?
That's right. Now, the number one prize that goes with it is really a tribute to the history of this podcast. It's a trophy that I think has a lot of meaning to Tyler and I, and that for anyone listening to the podcast will understand the true value of. And that is the mutated Tom Paris. So yes, that is the Playmates figure. You've got your lizard babies. You've got your mutated Tom Paris.
Nice.
The world is your oyster.
Wow. This is going on my mantelpiece at home. Picture Hannah. Of me and my other half is coming down. And that's the final word on that.
Can I just chime in here? Cam, the pins that you have given out to everybody, they are beautiful.
Fantastic.
These are like high quality, just gorgeous looking pins that everybody... I can see your eyes. You guys are all just enamored with these. So good on you, Cam.
Did you make them yourself?
Thank you, Cam.
Of course.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, well, thank you, contestants, for being here this year. And, of course, we'll be back next year with the 2020 Klingon Bloodwine Games. But why don't we sign out just social media. Jesse, where are you on Twitter?
You can find me at Outrageous Okendo. That's OUTRAJESOKENDO.
Okay, and Scott?
You can find me at Tiberius Hardy, HARDY. Why, as in, why are we not eating all of our cups?
And Kim, are you on Twitter?
I am. I believe it's at KimMac29, KIMMAC29, as in, I wish I was still 29.
There we go.
And scorekeeper Tyler.
You can find me at Reportin. That's REPORTON, as in next year I'm coming back to win it all.
Okay, and you can find me at Cam, V as in very hungry for cups, Smith. Okay, so until next year, the Klingon Bloodwine Games Arena is closed.
Yeah!
Insane!
Transfer complete.